That's all right. Shall we pray? Let's get this class started this morning. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you to exalt your name this morning, for truly you're worthy of the praise. You're worthy to be exalted in our lives, in our home, in our communities, Lord God, in our church, in our, Lord God, in the state and in the nation. We pray that we will always walk worthy, Father God, truly the calling that you have set before us. Father God, we just pray that as we enter into this study, Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Have your way. Speak like only you can, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Truly, it's been an honor. This is our last day together in this setting. I'm pretty sure more is to come. How many of you guys have really thought about your prayer life over the last, this is a long course, 6 weeks. I think I missed two or three Sundays. But how many have really thought, gave great consideration in regards to your prayer life? Mr. Lee? Kavana. That's the key. How many of you guys remember what Kavana mean? Kavana, it was a Jewish term, and it means being intentional. And we talked about how when they went into prayer, they were intentional. They were intentional about everything they went in before the Lord with. And I went in, when I went in my closet yesterday, Friday, it was so funny. And I asked myself, well, have you been practicing Kavana? Are you just going in here just shooting up some arrows? And I had to ask myself that question because the Jews, they were very intentional. When they went into their prayer closet, they were like, I'm going in here and I'm praying for this. I'm pinpointing it. And I often hear others say that God is in specifics. So when you pray for something, pray for exactly what you're wanting. Now, how it falls, that's between you and him. Yes. All right.
Occasionally, I get to go fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I do, I ask God for good fish. Every time I go, he answers my prayer.
Mm-hmm.
However, the good fish I get may not be the species that I'm targeting.
Okay, so thank you for the great example. So basically be specific because you can come up with anything, you know, so that's the beauty of it. But Kavana is very important in our prayer life, being that intentional, going in and saying, okay, God, this is where I'm standing. And I found that even something even more valuable is the honesty of going before him and saying, God, this is how I feel. This is how I perceive it, but I need your perspective. I need your perspective. So over the last 4 weeks, well, 6 weeks, our anchor scripture was Matthew 6:6, telling us to, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And that was our anchor scripture. And then so we had 3 points. Actually, 4, because we were extended. This is week number 5. The first week we talked about we hear God's voice when we go into the closet. Any of you guys remember that? When we go into the closet, we hear God's voice. Thank you. Actually, you can keep these, and later we'll distribute those right near the end. We hear God's voice when we go into the closet. We have that fellowship, that communication. And the scriptures that we used for that was John 5, verses 4 through 5. And I think it was verse 27, when it talks about his sheep hear his voice and no other will he follow. So these are the scriptures that we use for that first week. We hear God's voice. The second week we talked about we are filled with the knowledge of God's will for our lives. When we go into our closet, we go in and we're seeking what God's will is for our lives. I had a very interesting moment this morning as I was sitting in prayer. And remember I told you guys, I'm constantly saying, God, you know, fill me with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And I was sitting there praying. And it was like the Spirit spoke and said, I have shown you my will. I've given you the answers. Now I need you to get up and move. And I just sit there. I was like, duh. But a lot of times, he gives us the answer. He fills us with the knowledge of his will. We just have to move forward with it. And I told you about myself. At times, I'm a work in progress, that personality. And so I need to know what A, B, C, and D, and E, F is before I move. But with God, it's not like that. It's not like that. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. So he said, point A is over there, and I need you to go step on point A. Okay, God, what's next? A month later, I'm turning around. What's next? And I'm still at point A. So what am I missing? Or am I working and doing what his will is at point A? But once I complete point A and I listen to his voice, remember, we're still in the closet. I listen to his voice. Then he said, okay, now you can step to point B. Did you learn everything you need to learn at point A? That's the way he operates. He wants us to walk by faith and not by sight. He desired for us to trust him in the process. And sometime I throw a temper tantrum. I'm like, God, it is hard to trust you because this is not looking the way I desire for it to look. So guess what? It's not him, it's me. Because he is designed to teach me how to trust him. So the second point we talked about was being filled with the knowledge of God's will for our lives. And the scripture we used was Matthew 6:10 and also Colossians 1:9-10. Then the third week we talked about how the Holy Spirit, how he leads, guides, and directs us into all truth. When we fill with the knowledge of his will, we know his will by reading, studying his word. But when we go into the closet, we're not in there by ourselves. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. Because then he will bring everything back to our remembrance. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's that part right there, okay. Oh, okay. And always take your pencil and paper into the closet with you, so we can jot down what he is saying. If you're like me, you have 10,000 things going through your head, and so you can't remember. But like me, sometimes I forget to go back. So also go back and review what you heard in the closet. But the Holy Spirit is there, and he will lead us, he will guide us, and he direct us into all truth. And the truth will line up with the word of God. That's the beauty of it. And when we come out, there's a peace. This is what it talks about, resting in him. When we rest in him, we have his word inside of us, and it gives us a peace when he gives us an answer. That's the beauty of it. You're like, okay. And you come out all happy. And we walk out happy, and we walk into something like, oh, I didn't think it was going to look like that. But remember, in the closet, he has given us peace. And so remember, the Holy Spirit is there with us. Then the third thing we talked about, let's see here. Ha, ha, ha. I'm missing a piece of paper. Oh, that is right. We did a curve because I had to do an extra Sunday, so I dropped that one down to this Sunday. Then we talked about Jeremiah 33. Call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things. That was the third lesson. It's great things that the Lord is wanting us to do for him. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works unto the Lord, paraphrasing it. But he called us forth and he's placed things inside of us that need to be manifested in our lives. And so he says, call unto me and I will show you. Because if we look at everything that's going on around us right now, I mean, when you had, we're in 2023 and they have mercenaries. Come on. That's something you heard of in the 1600s. Yes, Lynn.
And we still, and these are doing my great and mighty things, and we're thinking this, and we're thinking that. Mm-hmm. If he could drop something into your spirit that's so simple, it'll blow your mind.
Mm-hmm.
We got to quit thinking like our human brains do. It's like, every time. Great and wonderful things.
Yes.
Like when we do exploits. Sometimes the exploit is just smiling today at somebody. Because you don't
okay, you're getting in my lesson. Okay. Yes. Yes. Okay. Okay. I get the point, Lord. I'm going there. Okay. But yes. And so he says, like she said, call me and I will answer you and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. The great and hidden things. The great and hidden things. Yes.
And I thought about that because the next phrase says, and thy word became a joy and delight of my heart. So
yes.
When we do this, the desire comes.
And
a lot of times what God speaks to us is from his word. He reminds us of scripture. So when you said that, the key, one of the keys is the scripture memory.
Yeah.
Memorizing scripture is important because that keeps us grounded in truth. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. We read that daily, we get that five times, we read God's word, and then a lot of times what God tells you is from his word.
His word.
It reminds you of the scripture.
Comes
to mind. We might be looking for something totally different, so,
Yes. And see, that's the beauty of it. Like, it comes from his word, and that's what the Holy Spirit, I remember telling my children, the word of God must be there inside of us. That's what the Holy Spirit pull on. That's his relationship. He was there when the word was created. So he's not going to pull on anything else but the word and the Spirit of God inside of us. So if there's no word inside of us, we'll flounder around. But his grace and mercy, the Holy Spirit will still operate on our behalf. But when the word is there, and like you said, memorizing the word. It was something you said about eating his word. Could you repeat that?
You know, some, in scriptures, like the kings found the book, the scrolls, and lost. It's like that when you discover that. Thy words were found. So we gotta go to the word. And I ate them.
Okay.
That's nutrition.
So okay.
Grass withers, flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. We eat that grass, that doesn't wither, we get fed good stuff.
And you said something about a delight. Could you repeat that?
You know, when we do it, the delight comes. When we do it, that's the delight. You know, prayer's a chore. But when you get in, then God turns it into the delight when we're obedient to do what he tells us to do. The delight comes. We want to get the delight first, and that's not the way it is. We're addicted to sugar.
Sucrose. And the reason I had you to repeat that was because Psalms 37, I think, is 4 or 5. It says, if I delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Bam. Thank you for the segue. Okay. With that being said, those exploits, and when we delight ourselves in getting his word inside of us and feasting upon it and being obedient, this is how we're able to do the great exploits. We're able to do them because we're delighting. We're finding pleasure. Now, that desires of our heart, I used to think that, and I'm being honest, I'm going to do what God has told me to do. And whatever my heart desires, I'm going to get it. But as I matured, then I realized that desire of my heart, the more I spent time with God, the desire of my heart was his desire. What he desired for me became my desire. That's it. Delighting ourselves in him And it wasn't the desires of Sonia. Of course, there's things we have in our heart and things we seek God for. But I had spent time with him. And I no longer desired fully what I wanted. And if I desired it, he showed me the right way to obtain it or to walk away. Yeah, he put that there. I was delighting myself in him. I was eating his word. And the more I ate his word, the more it became a part of me. So then we come to the last point. When we enter the closet, we will do great exploits in his name. And that's Daniel 32b, 1132b. Because if you go back and look at this, Israel had been taken over in Daniel the 11th chapter, verse 32, the B portion. If you go back and you look at this, Israel had been taken over. The temple had been taken over. They had went in and set up Baal worship in the temple. In fact, they even sacrificed a pig on the altar in the temple. And so God was letting them know that he would deal with them. But in this 32b, because they were in prayer, they knew their God, and it was a portion of the people that stood and said, "We will not do this." They were standing there in the temple, and they refused to do it. And so the Spirit, so he said, "Because you have chosen not to participate in what was taking place in the temple, you would do great exploits in my name." And he says, the people that know their God will do great exploits. The first great exploit that they did was they were able to stand. And it made me think about today's time. It's things going on in our nation. It's things going on in the world. And we're going to have to stand. So great exploits does not always mean we're going to build something elaborate. We're going to do something really mighty. And as Lynn had said, as I was driving in, just meditating, the same thing the Holy Spirit gave me. That great exploit might be we just able to get up and stand and smile when everything around us is falling apart. That great exploit might be for a mother to stand at home with her children. Is she just basically teaching them the word of God, putting the word of God inside of them? Because society have taught us great exploit is writing a great book. Great exploits is standing, having a congregation of a 500,000 some people or followers. Society have twisted all these exploits. Simply getting up, going to a shelter, feeding people in his name. So he said, if you know your God, if we know our God, we will do great things for him. In his name. Yes.
When you talked about delighting in the Lord, I kept hearing delighting in the fruit of the Spirit, which is his character.
Yes.
When we build on that foundation. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Can do great and mighty things.
Great.
From a smile to whatever.
Whatever.
But love, joy, peace, long-suffering, self-control. These are characters of God that are beyond human understanding.
That's right.
When we think of joy,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But God is talking about a deeper.
A deeper.
Joy.
Yes.
Something that man can't take from you.
Yeah. Soul quenching.
No matter what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like you with the just saying.
Yeah.
We can stand and smile.
Mm-hmm.
That's a joy.
That's a joy. Yeah. But see, the only way we're going to be able to do those exploits, and thank you, is by having the fruit of the Spirit. That's the only way. It's not in human strength. That's the only way we're going to be able to accomplish it. And so he says we can do great exploits. The verse says, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. The definition of exploit is made full use of and derived benefits from a source, making full use of. Mm-hmm. Hold on, we're going to mic you up.
Okay. So today I was staying with Cindy and Lee for a little while, and then God woke me up this morning at 4 in the morning and said, get up and shower up and go meet me in the woods. That's our place. So I went to the woods, and the Lord said to me, that you delight in the fear of the Lord. Do delight in the fear of the Lord. And he's been showing me things about the fear of the Lord. What a beautiful thing that is. You know, like Moses went to the Israelites and they were like, God, don't talk to God for us. You don't want to talk to him. We're afraid of him. Because they didn't know his ways. They knew his miracle. They're like, cool, God's cool. He's got the miracle. But they didn't know his ways. And the Lord showed me how Moses knew God's ways. And I was talking to Lee this morning, I'm like, you know, I don't want nothing to come between me and God. Like nothing. I want there to be no space between God and I. Because that is our relationship. That we are in love with each other. You know, so I just thought it was cool how God asked me, do you delight in the fear of the Lord? That was pretty cool.
That's good. Delighting in the fear of the Lord. That fear is a reverence, a respect for him, for who he is. And a lot of times we come before him because of what he can do. But it's that reverence and fear. And it's that same reverence and fear that will allow us to do great exploits in his name. It's that same reverence. It's that same fear. And then the other scripture that's a very familiar passage is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. We all have challenges that we must face. And it is things that God has called us to do. And that Colossians 1:9, fill me with the knowledge of your will and wisdom and spiritual understanding. It's things that he desires for us to do. And when we go into our closet, this is where we can hear what he is saying and what he desires for us to do. I used to think that I could do everything and I could cover everything because I've been blessed to have talents and abilities and skills in different vocations. I had to learn, Sonia, because you can do it, that don't mean you have to do it. That's what I had to learn. And I had to find exactly that spot in God where he desired for me to be. I allowed individuals to pull and use the gift and calling that God had inside of me. But a lot of times I found myself in the wrong position, in the wrong place, because possibly it was not time for me to do it in that season, or he desired for me not to do it at all. This is why it's imperative that we go before him. Yes, we have abilities. Yes, we have skills. Yes, we all know that we have callings. But we must seek what his will is for us in that season. And the only way we can know that is constantly being in his presence. Because what worked in the last season might not work in this season. So if we find ourselves doing something that we used to do in a season past, but we find ourselves becoming very frustrated, we need to ask God, are we in his will? I don't know why I went that way. But what I'm hearing him say is my body must line up. You see, when Jeremiah was in the valley of dry bones, and he was able to, the Lord told him to speak to those bones. Hear ye the word of the Lord. This is what he told, said to the dry bones. The bones had to line up according to God's design. Did we catch it? The bones had to line up according to God's design. For example, 2002, I broke my ankle skating. I broke the smallest bones in my ankle. It was the grace of God that they didn't shatter. They literally broke and they were like this, lined upon each other. And the doctor thought, he's like, that is really interesting. Doctor, is it Bond Gold? He's deceased now. Went into surgery. He lined my bones back up the appropriate way. I don't have a limp. My bones healed perfectly, even though I have a rod and 8 screws in my ankle. But they were lined up appropriately. I had a relative that broke their ankle the same time. The bones were not aligned correctly when she went into surgery. She walked with a limp for the rest of her life. She's deceased now. This is the way the body of Christ is. We must line up. We must get in our rightful position. It's imperative. We cannot operate the way we used to operate. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. It's imperative that we go to the closet. It's imperative that we go and we just sit at his feet and find guidance and direction. There's some shifting going on in the body of Christ right now. And a lot of us, many of us, we're having to line up. It was things that I was doing just a year ago that I can no longer do. I'm no longer graced to do it. It's not that I can't do it. It's not that I can't offer support for others. But I'm no longer graced to do it. Because he's needing me to get in position. When Jeremiah spoke to those bones lined up exactly the way the Lord had designed them to be. The bones had to line up. Then it says the sinew, then the muscle, then the flesh. Don't you? That's interesting. Because there's an order to everything. That's an order to everything. And as the body of Christ, in order for us to get in order, we must be in his presence. I found it interesting that Pastor Terry Wilson will be teaching starting next month on the topic of prayer. Why? Prayer helps us line up. Prayer helps us step into position with God. Prayer shows us what we need to drop and what we need to pick up. Prayer. Communication. A two-way conversation. A two-way conversation, just communicating with God. And society have made prayer so tedious and so rigorous. I mean, come on, who wants to pray? Like, if I have to live like that, I'm good. This is a conversation just like you and your spouse talk or you and a friend talk. You don't have to brush your teeth when you go talk to him. He's not concerned about your breath because the very breath we breathe in is he that put it in our lungs. A conversation. That's what prayer is. It was brought to my attention about Jude 1 in regards to praying in the spirit. This lesson is not in regards to that topic, but a reminder if you pray in the spirit with the gift of tongues, when you go into your closet, use your heavenly language. Because when you're in that closet, that's a conversation between you and God. And sometimes he will give you, he will allow us to know exactly what we're saying. And other times he will not. But the thing of it is, we avail ourselves unto him. We don't know who we're praying in regards to. We don't know who we're covering. But we're going in and saying, God, here, I'm giving you this time. This is your time. And what I love about God, he will meet us there. He will meet us there. Like I said, we don't have to fix our hair. We don't have to brush our teeth. We just go and get in the closet and just communicate with him. It's that simple. It's the simplicity of a relationship with God that wants to spend time with us, that he desires to spend time with us. And you're like, well, for example, I made a bad decision Friday. And the first thing that came upon me, and it made me think about Pastor Mike Duncan's message, was shame. It was shame. I want you to hear this. I made a bad decision, and I found myself in a point of shame. Guess what? The first thing shame did to me, pushed me out of my closet. It pushed me out of my closet. It made me not want to go before him. Well, some might say, well, you know, God forgive, and you shouldn't have felt that way. But shame will make us hide. Saying that, if we make a bad decision or things take place or we say things we shouldn't say or do things we shouldn't do, the first place we should run is to the closet. The first thing we should do is run to God. Shame. I made a bad decision and shame wanted me to step out the closet. It made me feel like, well, God, I've been bad, you know. I don't, you know, shame. Shame will make us hide from him. I thank you guys for the opportunity. First of all, I thank Pastor Terry and the staff for giving me an opportunity to stand before you and to encourage you in prayer. Prayer is imperative. Prayer is not difficult. It's us having a relationship with God, communicating with him. Sometimes I get a cup of coffee in here and I would just sit down and talk. Or a cup of tea. I'm driving down the highway and I turn my radio off. I'm washing my dishes. I'm walking through my house, sweeping my floor. There's a constant communication with God. Constant. Because there's so many things pulling us away from him. And telling us, we need to go do this. You need to go do that. And you didn't take care of this. Prayer. Communication with God. That's it. That relationship. When we go into that closet, we hear his voice. Then we are filled with the knowledge of his will. And he tells us to come unto him that he will show us great and mighty things. And then he say, because you come unto me and you sit and you listen to me, you will do great exploits in my name. In this passage of scripture, Daniel 11, 32b, the great exploits those people had to do was die. Many of them died because of what was taking place. Go back and read Daniel 11. Many of them died because of what was taking place. How they had came in, they'd taken the temple of the Lord over. That's another subject, another message for another day. But how they had come in and they were sacrificing pigs on the altar. But the people stood. It's coming. It's already here. We're having to stand. We're having to stand. We're having to stand. I was watching PBS the other night, and I saw a woman that was raising her son to be a girl. I will not judge. I'm not sure why she made this decision. I'm not sure why. So it bothered me. Our children and our grandchildren are being exposed to this. In the state of North Carolina, they have a Wicca club after school program. They also have a LGBTQ, I think that's it, club after school. It's already here. Those are the exploits. Being able to stand and represent him and stand on his word. These are the exploits. We all are wanting to build businesses. Some people, I'm doing a great exploit. I'm building a sanctuary. I'm building this. I got this to have going on, and I have this. I'm not dismissing any of this, because it's all important. It's all lining up. However, someone is going to have to take the hard stand. Someone is going to have to say, you know what, I can't tolerate this. We can't tolerate this. But we can't do it on our own. It's imperative that we do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's imperative that we go into the closet so we'll know how to maneuver, how we'll know how to go about. If you go back and read in the Old Testament, the prophets, God gave them the instructions how to maneuver, how to go in, what to do and what not to do. Because they spent time with God.
People, they are deliberately, they know what they're doing, and they want us to be fighting. I mean, if they can't do this and that, they'll do this and that, and they just want us to go there. So enough, that's just a bigger reason why we have to hear from the Lord, because we don't always have to go in there, thank you, guns a-blazing. We want to, our flesh wants to, so you got to really hear from God, because I know that have a lot of things that people with kids, I mean, I just pray with this, gosh, but I know when I have to take the stand, I'll take it, whatever it is. But I don't have to go looking for it necessarily. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so the great exploits, like you said, we don't have to go in fighting. We don't have to go in with guns. Go ahead, Mr. Jim. Okay. Good point. Point taken. But I want you to something that when you said that came to mind, wait a minute, Jeff, was the fact that he was there the day before. He was there the day before. So what was he doing there the day before? He was assessing the environment. And that's what we must do. He went, then he went to his father, and his father taught him, told him, or showed him how to deal with it. That's the key. Because he will show us, the Holy Spirit will show us how to deal with whatever we have to deal with. My flesh would say, shut it down, deal with it right now. But we can't always do that. I'm coming, Jeff, because what I saw on PBS the other night, I want you to hear this. These were Christian women. They had been raised in the church. They knew the word. In fact, the little boy that was trained, was being raised as a girl, he could quote scripture. Exactly. Exactly. So they use the word of God. So here we go, that division again. And these women were walking around with posters. They knew the word of God. They were raised in the church. But somehow the enemy came in and they were deceived. And so this is the type of stuff that, excuse me, we're dealing with, the exploits that we're going to have to do. The exploits of standing up. Ms. Jeff?
Well, I just want to put a spin on the idea of prayer closet. Because going into a closet sometimes can connote hiding out. Like you run into your closet, hide out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Garden of Gethsemane. If you've ever been to Israel, that's a stop you got to make. Mm-hmm. To the garden.
Mm-hmm.
I've taken my brick patio and I've made it like a garden.
Mm-hmm.
So that I can go out. You know, I remember as a little Methodist boy, you'd hear the song. You come to the garden alone. Mm-hmm. It was still on the road.
It's a beautiful song.
You know, and the voice I hear. And so think of going into your closet like Jesus going to the Garden of Gethsemane.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a little spot where you can just go out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the beauty of everything around.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jesus did. So it doesn't have to be a hideout or a closet.
Yeah. And
it can be just a beautiful place.
Yeah. And we did, that was brought up, I think, the second time, you know, in regards to not only, I have a personal closet, but like you said, sometimes I go outside and sit on my patio, or I go different areas. I go to the mountain, I go to the park by the water. So, but that's the thing about being able to move about and not having to go to Jerusalem to the temple or the wall. That's the beauty of it. Is there anything else? Because I have something I desire for us to do before we close out today. Is there anything else? Yes.
Like what Jeff said, you know, you can pray anywhere, but you know, it's about the relationship with God. Whether I'm working on the car, you know, it's like, Jesus is my wingman, man. He's my best bud. He's right there. So I'm trying to fix this thing, and I'm not having any luck. Mm-hmm. And then you know, he says, well, why don't you try this? Like I was working on one thing, and, well, just two screws move this other stuff out of the way, and you get to what you're working on instead of having to stand on your head and try to do it. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, all through life, you know, if it's about the relationship, so we don't really... If he's always there, we don't have to go anywhere to talk to him.
That's right. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. He's always there. Anyone else? Okay, so what we had handed out today is our declarations. And these are some of the scriptures that I also pray. And the women ministry, Ms. Henry Ann, we handed this out, I think, last year sometime. And so what I would like us to do is do these declarations. Sometimes I go in my closet and I just make the declaration. I declare this is what the word of the Lord says in regards to myself. So we can just go over these. Let me put my glasses on. Remember, I talked about the scriptures in the closet and decreeing and declaring what the word of God says. And so I would like for us to do this morning as a together in unison. And basically, we're not going to quote the scriptures, but we're just going to speak what's highlighted. Are you guys ready? I am loved. I am strong. I'm enough. I'm able to do hard things. I am blessed. I am victorious. I am safe. I am forgiven. I am accepted. I am equipped. I am protected. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit. I am delivered. I am God's handiwork. I am a part of God's family. I am comforted. I am made new. I am never alone. I am seen. I am heard. I am redeemed. I am renewed. I am approved. I am healed. I am holy. I am set apart. I am a citizen of heaven. I am chosen. I am sanctified. I am set free. I am fearless. These are declarations. A reminder when we step into that closet or wherever we are, keep it in your pocket. Read the scripture. Allow it to become a part of us. This is what the Holy Spirit pulls on. He pulls on the Word of God inside of us. This is what he used. I pray that everyone be blessed. And thank you. Thank you for your support. Thank you. Thank you. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to come and be a part of your body. We thank you, Lord, that as we continue to walk daily, that we grow into who you have called us to be. And Father God, we pray Colossians 1:9 that you would fill us with the knowledge of your will and our wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we may walk out the calling worthy unto you, and that we will complete the vocation that you have for us to complete in this earth and continue to do great exploits in thy Son Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Amen.